Rachel, not dead in the slightest, is standing before me wearing jeans, a t-shirt with a Universal Studios logo on it, a gray hooded jacket, and a blue baseball hat. Oh yeah, and there's a gun she's pointing at me.
Busy? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know how it is. You don't seem surprised to see me.
Saw Nicole tonight.
There's a flicker on her face of something I can't quite make out before it's gone. Surprise? Concern? Joy that I took her bait?
Did you know? Would have happened eventually.
I'm just not sure why.
Dunno. I'm just following orders.
Oh, I know that. And that's the thing I don't understand. Why are you following orders? What's Jimmy got on you, or doing for you, that you're willing to slaughter a couple of dozen people and torture the twins? Christ, I thought you and Lucas were friends.
Her eyes go hard.
I have my reasons, and I'm not here to discuss them.
You're looking for the opal.
And they said you were stupid. Where is it?
No idea.
Don't dick about, Eric.
I'm not. I honestly don't know where it is. On a mountain, bottom of the ocean, butt crack of some unfortunate hobo riding the rails. I got a friend to open a portal without bothering to think about where it might lead, and I dropped it in.
One of the things about the opals I found out in Vegas is that Jimmy can't see them either. They're not just a blind spot for it. They actively keep its magic from fucking with them. I only found this one by having Amanda do the research until she tracked down someone who had one.
You're fucking joking.
Nope. I mean, you're welcome to toss the house. Believe me, it's seen worse.
How about I shoot you in the knees and you tell me the truth?
Jesus, Rachel, I thought you were good at this. You don't threaten to shoot somebody's kneecaps. You threaten to shoot one at a time. That way you've got more leverage.
Fine. I'll shoot them one at a time.
You sure about that?
She lets loose a startled cry as wet, rotting arms wrap around her ankles and pull. The gun goes off, but the angle's wrong and all it does is dig a hole in my front door. She hits the ground hard, her jaw smacking the cement with a cracking sound. The gun skitters toward me. I pick it up.
What the fuck is this?
The bloated, rotting corpse I had hidden in the canal in front of the house and covered in masking spells starts pulling her back toward the canal while climbing up her legs.
Archie. Not his real name, I'm sure, but that's what it said on his driver's license. Did you know that was Cary Grant's original name? Really? Archibald Leach. Anyway, Archie tried to assassinate me about a month and change ago. I dropped him in the drink to float away. But after I got back from Vegas, nobody'd found him. So hey, waste not and want not.
She manages to get one of her feet free and kicks the dripping corpse in the face, dislodging its jaw. It hangs by a tendon before slipping out of what's left of its shredded skin and into the canal with a wet plop.
How about you and I go to my office and have a chat?
I take us both to the dead side. All the colors around us wash out into muted blues and grays, and we slide over. The canal is here, most of the buildings, some of them even though they burned down on the living side years ago. And the entropy of the place immediately starts to eat at Rachel. She clutches at her throat. She can breathe, but her brain doesn't really know how to process the environment, and the closest it can come up with is the sensation of drowning. I cast a spell, and a shimmering bubble, a barrier from the entropy of this place, forms around her. She gasps in big lungfuls of air, the spell temporarily shielding her from the worst of this place.
I think we got off on the wrong foot. Let's start over. Where's Jimmy?
Fuck you. You think I'm gonna tell you? Where the fuck are we?
This is where all the ghosts are. Not a lot of them around at the moment. That'll change soon. So we're on a bit of a clock. Where's Jimmy?
Fuck you.
She freezes as the bubble noticeably shrinks.
Oh, I forgot to mention, this is a place for dead things. Seeing as you're not dead, it's sucking everything out of you. Energy, power, hell, maybe even your soul. I'm not really sure. I should get a better understanding of how this place works. It's still leeching your life out, but it'll take a lot longer because of the shield. Of course, I'll drop that, and you won't last very long at all.
I'll last long enough to kill you.
Maybe. Where's Jimmy?
The bubble shrinks another few inches.
Oh, hey, you see that over there? Those are wanderers. You've seen them before. Remember the watchdogs when we were kids in Vegas? Those ghosts I let you see?
Rachel's face pales.
Yeah, you remember.
The fuck do you want, Eric?
I want answers. I want to know what the fuck Jimmy's trying to manipulate me into doing. I want to know what it's giving you that you'd so casually murder everybody. But most of all, I want Jimmy.
Duncan, what he wants? I'm just here to get back the Opal. I needed someone he could trust more than the call to handle this shit. He promised me something. And fuck you if you think I'm gonna tell you what it is.
Someone he could trust more than Nicole? You mean someone he could completely manipulate by screwing with your future to keep you in line.
Nicole was gonna betray him. She already had.
Try again. No way Jimmy could know that. It could barely see her, much less what she was going to do or what she was thinking. You know that.
So fucking what?
Nicole and me. We made it. Jimmy's our pride and joy, our sweet little bundle of horror. And it can't sense us like it can everything else. It could get a read on some of what Nicole was doing, but I'm a big old blind spot. And when I say blind, I mean blind.
It's not absolute. It can't be.
Okay, don't believe me? Let's say I'm lying. How was she going to betray it? How was she going to do anything to it that it wouldn't see?
I never can.
The shell shrinks some more.
God damn it, Eric. I don't know.
Why now? Why not have killed her 30 years ago? Conventional wisdom is that Jimmy can't be destroyed. No reason to kill her because there's no way she could hurt it. So why do it at all, and why do it now?
I'm telling you, I don't fucking know.
Then tell me where Jimmy is, and I'll ask it myself.
He's going to change things so that I get out of here, you know.
Oh, sorry, wrong answer. I don't think our studio audience here likes your performance, Rachel. In fact, they're looking kind of feral. And closer. See, one of the offshoots of this whole invisibility thing is that it's not just me it can't see. It can't see much of the futures of the situations I'm involved in, either. I'd say I'm pretty involved in this situation right here, wouldn't you?
The fuck are you saying?
That Jimmy won't find you. It can't see you. It won't even know where to look. I'll ask again. Where's Jimmy?
Rachel glares at me.
Storehouse.
Come again?
It's a Frank Lloyd Wright in the Hollywood Hills.
Why?
What?
Why there? Seems kind of a specific location, don't you think?
I don't know anything specific about this storehouse. The name sounds a little familiar. Wright was commissioned for 3 or 4 homes in Hollywood and Pasadena in the 20s. Most of them have fallen into disrepair over the years. Being LA, where we tear anything down that doesn't smack of whatever's the fad of the last 20 minutes, I'm pretty sure they're considered national landmarks.
I like Wright. It was available. He said to find something he didn't care where, so I did.
No, you didn't.
I'm telling you the truth.
I know you are, but I guarantee you Jimmy arranged it before you even picked up a phone.
Sure, fine. You got your answer. Get me the fuck out of here.
Oh, look, they've noticed us. You know, wanderers can move pretty fast when they want to. See? They're making good time.
Eric.
Look at them go, like horses coming to the finish line. Or maybe starving hyenas to a crippled gazelle.
Eric, I told you where Jimmy is. I kept my end. Now it's your turn.
Oh, yeah, that. I lied. I'd say to tell the twins hi for me, but you're not going where they went. You're not going anywhere at all.
Eric. No. Fuck, no.
Rachel stands up to attack and discovers that it wasn't just a bubble of breathable air I conjured. She hits the shield hard and lands on her ass.
I'd stay and watch, but I am tuckered out. I'd suggest tossing spells at the ghosts. You'll drain faster that way and might actually die before they get their claws into you. And trust me, that hurts like the dickens. Goodbye, Rachel.
I slide back over to the living side as the wanderers close in. From this side, I can see the wanderers clearly. Rachel is a human-shaped blob of light that thrashes around as the wanderers jump her. It doesn't take long before she stops thrashing and her light disappears. I stand there, watching the wanderers go at each other like sharks at a feeding frenzy until they slow down, forget what just happened, and shuffle away. Storehouse, huh? Part of me wants to go there right now and break down the door. But I'm exhausted, and I'm sure that Jimmy will be gone by the time I get there. Nah, Jimmy will come to me. I'll just need to be ready for it.
Carter, open up! Come on, goddammit, Carter!
There has never been a situation in all of history where waking up to someone beating on your front door and yelling your name is a positive development. I grab my gun and stumble barefoot toward the door. I consider putting a few rounds through it, but it's poor manners to shoot a caller before knowing who they are. I take a chance and look through the peephole. Letitia. Shit.
Go away! I'm naked and armed and I'm not afraid to use it.
Use what exactly?
You wanna find out?
Just open the motherfucking door!
I unlock the door and lower a security ward on it. I open the door a bit, but Letitia pushes it open and strides past me, then turns.
There's a... Oh, Jesus!
I told you I was naked and armed.
Put some goddamn pants on! I did not need to see that this early in the morning.
All right, but no peeking.
I pass her and head off to the bedroom.
Trust me, not gonna be a problem.
A few minutes later, I've found a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. I cross to the kitchen.
I'm making coffee. You want coffee?
I could use the caffeine, but I'd rather have bourbon. Especially after seeing your ass. Christ, do you have tats everywhere?
Over the years, I've had spells, sigils, and runes tattooed all over my body. Throat to wrists to ankles. Most are for protection. They used to be varying shades of black, but after I was brought back from Mictlan, they've been bright red, green, blue, gold. On my chest, I used to have a circle of ravens that I could let loose and they'd try to fuck up whoever was trying to kill me. But when I became Mictlan Tecuhtli, they changed. Now they're jade eagles, and I have no control over them whatsoever. They only seem to come out and play when they want to.
I know you're here about last night. If you're not, then the world's more fucked than I thought it was. So what the fuck are you doing here?
Tell you on the way.
Fuck, if you said you wanted me to head out with you, I'd have gotten dressed for real. Now you gotta wait. I need a shower.
Every time I think you can't be a bigger pain in the ass, you exceed my expectations.
Exponentially?
What?
Never mind.
When I finally got in early this morning, I crashed. Hadn't realized I had so much blood on me. Now there's a metaphor for my life. There's something about watching somebody else's blood go down a shower drain that hammers home how fucked up my world is. I murdered Rachel last night, and I don't feel a thing. No regret, no sadness, no joy, not even satisfaction. I killed her with no more regard than I would kill a rat. After I am showered, and at least have a pair of pants on and a shirt, I walk back to the kitchen, shoes, socks, and jacket in hand.
All right, my shame is adequately covered. Happy now?
You have no idea.
Talk. I sit on the couch and start putting on my socks and shoes.
You ever heard of the Pacific Electric Red Car?
Yeah, from back when LA actually had a real public transportation system. Wait, no.
Yep, middle of Culver Boulevard.
The Red Car was a series of connected rail lines for large red and orange trolleys that crisscrossed Los Angeles. The freeways killed them, naturally. Worse, all of a sudden you couldn't get anywhere without a car because the bus system was shit. The Red Car was gone and nobody walks in LA. The freeways might as well have been big concrete fences.
Same situation as last night?
Letitia nods.
That one, we've got 12 bodies. Looks like a conductor and 11 passengers.
Okay, so... Wait, that one? There's more than one?
Did you know the valley used to be all orange groves?
You are fucking kidding me.
Nope. A whole section of Victory turned into an orchard during rush hour, near the 405.
Are the trees alive?
Nope. Some people who saw it happen say they showed up, looked as normal as a bunch of orange trees suddenly appearing in the middle of the street could, and then they turned black and withered.
What about the cars? Any of the trees materialize in the middle of a car?
An F-150, actually. Dipshit was doing 110 in a 45 when it showed up in the middle of his engine. Paramedics weren't sure if the driver was going to make it.
The Adobe House, the Harrison, the club in Hollywood, and now a red car in Culver City and an orange grove in the valley. Everything except the Adobe House seem like they're from the same era. The Harrison didn't appear the same way, though. It didn't displace anything, and I was able to walk into it.
and when I left, it was gone. So there's something different about the Harrison. I stand and grab my jacket. What the fuck is going on?
Kinda hoping you knew.
I see the long, closed red and orange trolley car with folding doors at either end. Things built like a tank, rows of massive bolts holding it together. The electric poles at either end reach up to the sky, skeletal arms trying to pull the car out of the bureaucratic grave it was buried in 70 years ago. I'm at a distance from the train where I'm close enough to feel the buzz of energy under my skin, but not so close that it's fucking with me. The thing is, I want to get closer. Pulling in that energy last night hurt like a motherfucker. But there's something about it that makes me want to do it again. Like one of those hookups you know you'll regret, but go home with anyway.
Yeah, that's a red car, all right.
Yeah, got that. The fuck's it doing here?
I get a little closer and start to walk around it. And stop.
Old rail line. It never pulled up most of the tracks in the city, just paved over them. You can see here where the wheels tore up the pavement. The train was moving when it appeared, and the wheels had dug furrows into the pavement.
Oh, Jesus. Are we gonna see more of these things?
The trains? No idea. The other stuff? My money's on yes.
The young Letitia's not-an-apprentice rookie cop from the club crime scene walks up and throws a look to Letitia.
What is it?
Last night we found these in some of the victims' pockets.
She hands Letitia a plastic evidence bag holding a wide paper ticket. And then the rookie hands Letitia another.
And we found these here.
Okay, they're red car tickets. Back then everybody was taking these things. What of it?
Can I see those?
Letitia hands me the bags. I hold them up to the light to better see.
No shit. Oh, Tish, you gotta hang on to this one. She's a fucking treasure.
What? What did I miss?
These little things sometimes people call clues.
I can still shoot you, you know.
Tease. Look, see how they're punched? Origination, destination, transfer, date.
Okay.
Should I be having this conversation with your apprentice?
Carter.
Some of the ones from last night. Benson, how many?
10.
Same location?
No, but all the same route.
10 people got on the line going from West LA to Hollywood and Highland. Some of the people here were coming from Hollywood and Highland and heading to West LA.
I still don't get it.
You want to tell her?
Jana blanches.
The ones we found last night are punched December 22nd. The ones here are dated December 23rd. There's no timestamp, but everybody in there looks like they were on their way to work in the morning.
They're not all coming from the same time.
No, and they're not matching our time either. Not exactly. But their time is moving.
How do you mean?
Most of the people on the train have a watch. They've all stopped. A couple of them had newspapers. They're dated December 23rd, 1924.
But it's not December here.
That's not the point. The point is that whatever the fuck is going on here, we have a connection. Something happened around the end of the year in 1924.
Great. What does it mean?
Fuck if I know. You're the detective. How long do you think you're going to be able to keep a lid on this?
For the last 5 years, we've kept a lid on a fucking toxic cloud over South LA that kills everything that goes into it. I think we can handle this.
Sure, this one. And when another one hits, and another? Do you really think an orange grove in the fast lane on Victory is going to be the last of it?
No. Can you take a little pressure off us and burn the city down again?
Funny. And fuck you. Have fun.
The hell are you going?
There's something drawing me to these corpses, and it's hard to resist. But I don't need a repeat of last night.
I'm gonna go immerse myself in architectural history.
Why do I even ask?
I'm off down the street in search of a car to steal, a bit further from the eyes of LA's finest. I know this has to be related to Jimmy, but until I know how, I'm better off just looking for the damn thing. Rachel's dead, thank fuck, and I have an address. If it's lost sight of her, then it'll know we ran into each other. And if she hasn't checked in, it'll know what happened to her. And what is it about the end of December, 1924? I don't know for sure if the Orange Grove is from then, but the car, the club, and the Harrison are. But then, there's the Adobe. That doesn't fit. The Harrison is bugging me. It didn't show up like the others. And I could go inside, but Danny couldn't. What if I'd stayed there? Would I have been able to come back?
Excuse me.
I turn on my heel, my shield, ready to go. But it's rookie Janna.
Didn't recognize your voice there. You always get so quiet around Tish.
She catches up to me, her face scrunched up in embarrassment.
It's that obvious?
She can be pretty intimidating. Hell, she stabbed me in high school.
Rookie Janna squints at me.
Like, caught on school grounds and stabbed you?
What I like is that your instinct isn't to deny she might do something like that. No, high school. While we were in... together.
You don't look...
Oh, right. I don't look old enough, do I? Trust me, I am. What can I do for you? I keep thinking of you as Rookie Janna, and that's not working for me.
Benson. Janna Benson.
What can I do for you, Officer Benson?
Captain Watson wants me to go with you.
I look past Officer Benson and see Letitia. She smiles and waves at me. I feel sorry for this kid. She's working under a hard ass like Letitia and trying to get a handle on her power and probably not able to tell anybody. It's gotta be overwhelming. Nope. I turn around and keep walking. She follows.
Mr. Carter? Eric? She really wants me to go with you.
It's good to want things. Gives a person goals.
She really...
I stop dead and turn around to face her.
What has she told you about me?
That your magic is about ghosts?
That's it.
Janna nods.
I don't know what the hell Letitia's thinking. She's either trying to get you killed or teach you some kind of abject lesson that she doesn't realize is gonna get you killed.
She told me it'd be good to ride along.
I can tell you with absolute conviction that it would not. Go back to your crime scene, Officer Benson. You're too good at your job to waste on me.
I leave Officer Benson to decide her own fate. I find a Lexus that's about as close as I'm going to get down here to inconspicuous for the Hollywood Hills. The houses up there start at $5 million. Nobody's driving anything under 80K. I know I won't find Jimmy at the house. Who knows? Maybe we'll run into each other stuck in traffic on opposite sides of the 405. Statistically, everyone in Los Angeles eventually gets stuck in traffic next to everyone else. For an update, I pull out my cell phone and call Danny.
Talk to me, Carter.
Want to go toss a house?
Is there a special someone we might run into?
Sadly, no. One of them is in the wind and the other one is on the other side of the veil as ghost kibble.
Dude, you could have called.
She sort of dropped in on me. Anyway, Jimmy's on the move, but I have a last known address.
Reliable?
Gonna find out. Care to join?
Fuck yes.
I give him the address and a little history on it.
A Frank Lloyd Wright house? People actually live in those?
If they don't, they're spending a lot of money on empty real estate. I'm not expecting anybody to actually be in there, but don't start the party without me.
No, sure, you get to drop the house on the Wicked Witch and I gotta hang outside the Emerald City. Some friend you are. I'll see you there.
It takes me over an hour to crawl my way up to Hollywood. La Cienega is a mess, as always, but eventually I get onto Crescent Heights to head up into the hills. The second I hit sunset, the cops hit me. A black and white is up my ass flashing its lights and bumping its siren. You've got to be kidding me. How did I not see it? It's not like those cars don't stand out. It's easier to just deal with the cop than try to get away from them, especially in traffic. I pull over, grab a sticker and a Sharpie and write, "Nothing to see here, have a nice day," and pump some magic into it. I roll down the window and look up into a scowl.
Officer Benson, fancy meeting you here.
Sir, will you please turn off the engine and step out of the vehicle?
This is so not a request. She has very different energy from the scene I just left.
See, this is how you should be around Letitia. Let yourself be a badass. It suits you.
Sir, please grab your belongings and step out of the vehicle.
You really want to do this?
She doesn't say anything, but I notice she's had her hand on her sidearm the entire time.
All right, I'll play along.
I grab my messenger bag and do what she says. Officer Benson is pure cop and not fucking around. I get the distinct vibe that if she needed to, she would shoot me in an instant. Good instincts. One of the reasons Letitia ordered her to stick with me. She cants her head at her black and white.
Get in the car.
She crosses to the vehicle and throws open the passenger side door.
But I
stop at the look she gives me. I immediately feel sorry for any kids she might have. I give her a quick salute.
Getting into the car, officer.
I'm trying not to laugh, but she's not a little girl playing cop. She is a hard-ass officer of the law, and she will not be fucked with. And I can respect that. Mostly. I didn't notice your car. You were behind me the entire time, weren't you? I reach out now, and I feel it. A faint trace of magic. This is subtle but powerful and well thought out. I seriously doubt I could do it.
I'm impressed. Nicely done.
What?
The spell you cast? Invisibility on the car?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, shit. No wonder Tish has taken her under her wing. This was a powerful, complicated spell with a lot of moving parts, and she just cast it instinctively without even realizing she was doing it.
Huh. Okay, well, not my pig, not my farm.
She gestures to the laptop screen in her cruiser.
You know that car was reported stolen.
Mercy me, not stolen.
Why?
You're gonna have to get a little more specific there.
Why'd you steal the car?
Because I needed one.
But you stole it.
I think we pretty much covered that ground.
She chews on that for a second.
Ugh. What's with the sticker?
It's sort of a camouflage spell. Makes people see what I want them to. Compared to what you did with the car, it's like trying to hide myself behind a daisy. You learned that from Letitia? What's she teaching you?
She's not teaching me a goddamn thing.
Hard-ass Officer Benson is suddenly replaced with apprentice Jana Benson, who's clearly overwhelmed by this crash course in magic.
How long have you been with her?
A year and a half. I've been on the force for about 3 years now. I spent a year on administrative leave. She helped me get through that.
I run through the math.
LAPD Academy takes what, 6 months?
9.
So most of the time you've been in training or dealing with all this magic bullshit.
Her face starts to redden, but I can see her tamp down on her emotions. Some anger, maybe a lot of shame, self-recrimination, sense of failure. Interesting. Tish mentioned Jana's powers came out. Something happened with her power on the job. Most probably killed somebody, but definitely not on purpose. I don't think Letitia would be helping her out if it was. But Letitia is too busy and horrible with this sort of thing and is desperate to foist her onto somebody else. I am so not biting.
Okay, let's table that. I told you, you're not coming with me.
You're right. I'm not. You're coming with me.
Compared to the rest of the homes along this stretch of Hollywood Boulevard, Storer House is tiny. An internet search of pics in the layout told me it's a Mayan revival style using Wright's concrete textile blocks. Gives it a look that's somehow both ancient and modern. Tall columns of sculpted concrete inside and out, narrow floor to ceiling windows. All acute angles, sharp corners. It's only a short drive from Hollywood and Highland through a couple of twists on a narrow stretch of Hollywood. It stands out simply because it doesn't stand out.
Go past the house, don't slow down.
As we go past, I see a man in a suit on the front terrace brazenly holding a submachine gun.
What are we doing here?
Looking for a head.
To her credit, she doesn't even blink.
Like in a jar, a grocery bag, what? I need a little more to go on.
If it's there, which it probably isn't, it should be in a box. I need to ask it some questions.
Ask it questions?
If we run into it, you'll see what I mean. Keep going and make a U-ey back into Hollywood. We're going to loop around onto Crescent Heights and get up to the house behind it.
There are 3 guys we'll have to deal with. Armed.
3? Huh. I missed the other 2. Where are they?
Inside. Wait, how do I know that? Fuck!
Get used to it. Until you know more, your magic's going to leak out like that. Happens to all of us. Eventually, you'll figure out your knack.
My what?
Oh, fuck's sake. We need to get somebody else to teach you some shit besides Tish. A knack is the one type of magic that we're ridiculously good at. Doesn't mean that's the only magic we can cast, but it's what we're best at.
Oh. What's hers?
Finding the truth. If you lie to her, she'll know. In case you ever have to hide something from her, know that it's not infallible. She can't tell if you're leaving anything out, or if you just believe that you're telling the truth. She's good at figuring stuff out on her own. Try to avoid yes or no questions if you can.
We pull behind Danny's Jeep, parked across the street from the house we're going to go through. He's sitting in his Jeep eating Cheetos and watching something on his phone. He doesn't notice us until we're out of the car. He jolts upright and steps out of the Jeep.
Where the fuck did you come from?
Danny Kwan, meet Officer Benson. She makes her car disappear.
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
She's new to magic, and Letitia Watson has taken her on as an apprentice.
Letitia. Isn't she the chick who tried to kill you in high school?
With a knife, yes.
She's not the one who threw the car at you?
No, that was, Susan?
Is this normal for mages?
Yeah, pretty typical.
Mages are, by and large, not the most stable people. Imagine giving a bunch of emotionally stunted narcissists superpowers by letting them loose in public, and the only thing keeping them in check is the fact that they tend to get themselves killed early on.
That sounds like a disaster.
Usually is, yeah.
Why haven't I heard about any of this? I mean, the captain told me stuff happens, but wouldn't talk about what?
You have. The fires, Vernon blowing up, toxic cloud. Any of that ring a bell?
Letitia told you about the cleanup crew, right?
Janna nods.
Well, that exists because normals finding out about magic would be bad for everybody. And we don't exactly police each other. At least not until one of us goes completely off the rails and needs to be put down.
You call us... We call them normals. Captain didn't say anything about that.
There's a look on her face that tells me something is about to click.
That's because it's fucked up and she doesn't like it. It's like calling people peasants, but it's better than ordinary. At least normals implies that we're the abominations.
She looks around at all the houses, then back at her car. She's thinking real hard about what probably is about to go down.
Mages have fights all the time, but mages and normals? People would die by the thousands.
And have. Danny points at me.
He'd know better than anybody.
Yeah, this is great and all, but I'm not the one who should be telling you this stuff, and I got shit to do. Officer Benson, thank you very much for your assistance in getting me here. Your tenacity honors the badge.
I'm not leaving.
Danny and I share a look.
There might be breaking.
Definitely entering. And a possibility of gunfire. Inside a historic landmark, even.
To make the point, Danny steps back to his Jeep and pulls an FNP-90 submachine gun and a belt loaded with mag holders.
Do you have a license for that?
Danny stops, cocks his head, and looks at her like a confused dog, then goes back to getting his gear on.
Officer Benson, Janna, you look like you're about to have a stroke. I don't think Letitia meant for you to be a part of this.
What exactly are you planning?
Look, there's an artifact. It's an undead talking head. It does stuff we don't need to get into right now. It was probably in that house. It most likely isn't anymore. There are at least three people in there that we have to deal with, which is a good thing.
Why?
Because if it's just sitting there on a table and nobody's around, that means it doesn't think it needs guarding, and that shit's about to go sideways in ways that could take a long time to explain.
She stares at me, then gives a simple nod to a question she just asked herself.
Wait here.
She steps behind the car and pops the trunk. I can't see what she's doing. God, I hope she doesn't try to arrest us. I look to Danny, who gives me an up nod as he shrugs into a Kevlar vest.
Where the fuck did you get Cagney or Lacey?
You think maybe you shouldn't be hauling all that military hardware out in the middle of the street?
Oh, I got wards on this stuff. Anybody comes around here, they're gonna see gardeners. Even if they look out their window.
He nods toward his P90.
This is a weed whacker.
Janet comes back carrying a Benelli M4 shotgun and her phone. She hands the latter to me. It's Letitia, of course.
Tish, I'm not a babysitter.
Janet's face turns red.
Not asking you to be one.
You didn't ask, period. The fuck are you playing at?
She needs to see the shit, and the shit I can show her isn't close to what she needs.
I walk away from the two of them and lower my voice.
So what, on the deep end you're throwing her into?
Yes. She sinks or swims. She lives or dies. You're not her babysitter. I'm not her mom.
Jesus, Tish. This is cold, even for you.
She needs more mages to be around. She wants to be a cop. She isn't. Not anymore. I can't get that through to her.
You're a cop.
No, I'm not. Not first and foremost. I can quit the job. I can't stop my magic.
I glance back at Janna and Danny, then face away.
What I'm doing right now could get her killed. This isn't the deep end you're throwing her into. It's a fucking shark tank.
Then she learns how to swim with the sharks. She's better off learning how from one of them. Otherwise, she's dangerous to herself and everybody around her.
Dangerous how? I thought you said she was new.
New does not mean safe. Have you seen her cast yet?
No. Saw the effects of a camouflage spell she did, which was honestly pretty terrifying because she says she didn't know how she did it.
That's right. That's the problem. She did it without even thinking about it or realizing she did it. Right now, everything's instinct, and she's fucking powerful. You know how that goes. Ask her how she and I connected, and you'll see what I mean.
Look, you're right. She does need somebody, and I am not it. You threw her in my fucking lap, Tish.
Yes, I did.
Letitia hangs up. I walk back to Jenna and Danny. Danny is making a show of checking his gear and ignoring a seething Jenna. I toss her phone back to her.
Tell me how it happened.
We were on a call. Domestic disturbance. Me and my partner. Anyway, we were on a domestic. We get there and there's a major fight going on. Yelling and screaming. We can hear furniture breaking. There are a couple blown out windows. So we decide it's probable cause, call it in. Start banging on the door, yelling through the window. They're not paying attention. Door's unlocked. My partner's the first one through and barely gets out of the way of a thrown plate.
Those are never fun.
Yeah, well, this one was less fun. Even before I get through the door, I feel it. This buzzing. Not my ears, not even in my body. Like my soul's been hit with a tuning fork. Does that make sense?
Never heard it put that way, but yeah.
We get inside and there are two women beating the shit out of each other. They're both bruised and cut up. One of them looks like she has a broken arm. Only they're not throwing anything. Just standing there staring at each other on opposite sides of the room, screaming shit. Crap's flying all over the place and they're not touching any of it. A side table hits my partner in the head. Hard. He goes down and I don't know exactly what happened next. I remember screaming for them to stop and then having this feeling like, I don't know, like a release?
I nod. You cast a spell. What happened?
I blew up the building.
Whole thing? She looks at me like she's expecting me to be shocked or horrified or something. Around these parts, we call that Tuesday.
No, just that apartment. The one above it. Nobody was in that one.
Anybody survive? Again, the expectant look. Probably only ever been asked if anybody died. Like it wouldn't be a given.
My partner's in a coma. I don't know if it was the table or the explosion, but he's got brain damage. The two women, they died on scene. Next thing I know, I'm standing in what's left of the doorway. Nothing touched me. It all went past me or around me. Same with my partner. Like everything bounced off him. Then I passed out and woke up in the hospital with the captain and some doctor, never got her name, hovering over my bed. Captain and I had a long conversation after that.
I'm beginning to see what Letitia was talking about. When that spell went off, Jenna probably caught the attention of every mage in a 5-mile radius. I've heard worse. Fuck, I've done worse. Here's the thing. Letitia is trying to get through to you that the life you had before is over, and it's not getting through.
I fucking get it. I feel like I'm constantly holding shit in. Like any second I'm about to explode and kill somebody.
You will.
No, I fucking won't.
Yes, you will. Guaranteed. Do you understand you are no longer a police officer? She blinks.
What?
You can keep the job, but you're a mage. How you decide to live with that or what to do with it is up to you. Tell me, what are you? Start with the basics.
I'm a woman.
Right, and you're white. And you're straight, gay, whatever. All these labels we go through to build our identities. Those are who you are. Somewhere, after all that, you're a cop. You're going to have to accept that mage is a hell of a lot higher on the totem pole than that. You can quit the job. You can't quit you.
Captain, Letitia said she made it work.
Past tense. She made it work by lying to everybody, including her wife, who left her because of it.
Are you trying to scare me?
Yeah, and you should be. That said, and I can't believe I'm doing this, if you really want to go in there with us, fine. Tish wants to throw you into the shark tank, and she seems to think that I can point out the sharks.
What the hell are you?
First good question you've asked. I'm one of the sharks. I'm a necromancer. I talk to ghosts. I make zombies. Occasionally, I murder people and do both at the same time. I'm kind of a all-things-dead kind of guy. I'm not the most dangerous mage out there, but I have a tendency to piss off a lot of them. Don't ask me what my body count is. I don't even know. Though I suspect it's somewhere in the low six figures.
This is how the body started moving last night.
It is?
And Letitia sent me here with...
That's right, officer. Your boss just partnered you up with an admitted murderer and so many other things you have no idea about that would and should make you run screaming. Only differences are motivation and magnitude. See, Letitia actually tries to follow the law, but a lot of times she can't. Danny steps up and nods.
I just shoot people. Or stab. Punch, kick, you get the idea. That's how my magic comes out. So, we doing this? The bad guys probably want a break for lunch. I know I'm getting a little peckish.
Well, you ready? She unpins her badge and slides it into her pocket. Her face is a stone mask, but the eyes poking out of it look like she's just heard her parents died.
No, but I'm going anyway.
I like you, Officer Benson. I hope you don't die.
Or worse.
Jaina's got maybe half a foot and 20 pounds on him. She gives me a look that says if this were anywhere else, she'd deck him. He may not look it, but he really is very good.
Hey.
Jaina surveys the street, then looks to me.
How are we doing this?
Preferably quietly, and without destroying a historic landmark.
Why are you looking at me? I hit what I aim at.
More worried about the three guys inside. We're cutting through this yard, over the fence, and down to the rear terrace. There are five tall windows in the front and back. The bottom sections are doors. There's no cover once we get onto the property.
What happens when we get to the house?
Then we improvise. Let's go. The mansion yard we're cutting through is easy to navigate. Jaina's nervous the way a kid breaking into an abandoned church is nervous. It occurs to me that she's an idealist. That can be a good thing. But if the ideal is to uphold the law at any cost, well, that gets ugly fast. I get the feeling she's the sort that wants to do good and isn't there for a power trip, though I think power might frighten her. We cleared the fence and stop behind some foliage just above the back. Through the windows, I can see the other two guys inside. All three look like pros, suit and tie and a relaxed stance. I'd prefer anxious and slightly paranoid. I suspect these guys won't make mistakes.
All right, you're up.
I pull the sticker off my jacket, wad it up, and stick it in my pocket.
Sorry?
Your invisibility thing. I don't think there are any mages in there. They don't look the type.
Why would that matter?
Because if you cast a spell, other mages can feel it. So does this invisibility make it so you're literally invisible? Or do you just not get noticed?
I don't know. I don't know how to do it.
Sure you do. Come on, give it a try.
The frustration on her face is starting to turn to anger.
I don't...
There's a flare of magic, and nothing.
You did something. I don't feel invisible.
Hang on.
I pull out my phone and turn on his camera. I point it at Jaina and Danny.
No shit. Take a look.
I hand Jaina the phone. She points at us.
You're not there. I did it. On purpose.
Remember that feeling. Hang on to it. It'll get easier as you do it, but it'll be tough at the beginning. Recalling the feeling will help.
Can we please go deal with whatever the talking head left us?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Danny steps into the open and hops down to the terrace.
What the hell is his problem?
He's itching for some payback. Someone who works for Jimmy, that's the talking head's name. They set us up and Danny ended up shooting four people yesterday who were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Jesus. Wait. Yesterday? Was this Long Beach?
Yeah, and don't ask for details. They'll just upset you. Come on.
By the time we get down, Danny's already gotten inside the house. We crouch low and follow Danny inside. They may not be able to see us, but I don't know if they can hear us. One of Jimmy's people is sitting on a leather and wood craftsman chair reading a book. Danny gets behind him and draws a wicked-looking Gerber knife. Just as he's about to run it across the guy's throat... The guy is gone. Fucker moves so fast I can't track him at first. Then I see him on the other side of the room, across from his buddy. Jaina and I hit the floor while Danny jumps to the side as they open fire. Bullets tearing into the concrete walls, disintegrating the furniture.
100-year-old tables and chairs turn into splinters in no time flat. They're sweeping their fire from where Danny was a moment ago back and forth across the room. They can't see us, but they know a spell was recently cast. And if it's just invisibility, then Danny making noise must have tipped them off, which means they probably don't know Jenna and I are here. The guy from the front terrace comes running in, straight into Danny, who's crouched below. Danny takes advantage of the guy's momentum and flips him into the room, right into the line of fire. Bullets tear into him, and he sails through the air and lands a couple of feet from Jenna and me. She starts to get up, but I wave her back down. They've already shifted fire toward Denny's location. He's put up a shield. For the moment at least, he's good.
The teacher wanted you to see the ugly side of this life. This is it.
I cast a spell at the dead shooter, which immediately grabs the attention of one of the live ones, who starts firing in our direction. Then I feel a shield go up around us. A quick glance at Jenna tells me she doesn't know she's casting that one either. The dead shooter stands up, which has the effect of drawing more fire. That's fine. I don't actually need him. I just need his blood. One of the tricks I picked up from Eklanta Kootli is manipulating blood. I concentrate on all of the blood left in his body and collecting it behind his ribcage. Then, I push it out through his chest. A long line of blood terminating in a sharp, solidified arrow shoots across the room and spears the normal gunman through the left eye, exiting the back of his skull. It's so fast, the mage doesn't even seem to have noticed it's happened. He has a shield, but he's only got it up in front of him. I zip the arrow of blood into a sharp turn toward his unprotected flank and shoot it through the base of his skull. It bursts out through his left eye, jumps back through his right. I run it through his skull like an in-the-shell egg scrambler. After a beat, both men are very dead and hanging limply by this blood rope. I stomp the spell and bolt to the floor along with the splash of this long, thick line of blood. Danny stands from behind a couch that has a bookcase built into the back.
Jesus fucking Christ. You didn't even break a sweat doing that, did you?
There was some effort, but yeah, it was a lot easier than I expected.
I turn to look for Jenna and see her throwing up in a corner.
You doing all right there, officer?
She gives the thumbs up, spits a couple of times, and wipes her mouth on her sleeve. I wave her over.
Come on, let's go see what they were guarding. And watch your step. There's a lot of blood and stuff.
Yeah. I have to call this in.
Whoa there, Officer Benson, is it? That would be a real bad idea.
Trust me, it'll make Tisha's life a lot more difficult. Yours too.
Jenna takes a deep breath and nods.
Yeah, thanks. Now what?
We search the place.
We don't run into anyone else. We clear most of the house quickly. It's a small place and mostly open plan. I don't feel any wards, any spells, nothing. I didn't think there'd be much here, but I figured there'd be something besides guys with guns. There's a bedroom to one side. Danny pops his head around quickly to see if anybody's going to try to shoot it off. He pulls back, a puzzled look on his face.
You ever see Charlie's Angels?
70s TV show? Three women spies or something. They get orders from a guy through a speaker on a desk?
Yeah.
He cants his head to the room for me to follow, and he heads in. I follow him and stop the second I see it. It's a small room with a queen-sized bed. In the center of the bed sits a square white speaker plugged into the wall. There's a pop and a burst of static.
Hello, Eric. Mr. Kwan? Officer Benson?